This is the night when we reflect on the gift of the Holy Spirit to us and all that the Holy Spirit offers to us, which of course we'll need many nights to speak about. But I remember a story I heard of Pope John XXIII. Some of you may have heard of this story where, you know, he was a roly-poly pope. He always sort of was laughing. And it was a relief to everyone in the world that finally the Pope laughed. And he had a good sense of humour. So he was going on one of his journeys out of the Vatican walls to the Holy Spirit Hospital in Rome, run by the Holy Spirit Sisters. And so the superior of the sisters was very sort of nervous about the Pope arriving. And so when he arrived, she blurted out, "Oh, Holy Father, I am the superior of the Holy Spirit." And he said, "Well, you've got one up on me. I'm only the vicar of Christ." Just mention that because we don't want to be the superior of the Holy Spirit. We must allow the Spirit to have his way in our lives. There can be an obstacle just by our own stubbornness, our own spirit of rebellion, if you like, our own obstinacy to the work of God in our lives. And so what I'm encouraging you is to just be open to the movement of the Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit of God to move in your life in a new way. Because even if you're an old hand like myself, halfway to the grave or far longer, you can close up to the action of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we always invite people at these times to, whether you've experienced the baptism in the Spirit before or not, to open up again. Because the human heart has a way of closing up, especially when we are approached by God, because it's somewhat threatening to be approached by the living God. And we tend to sort of want to keep control and keep it all nice and domesticated, because if we open it up too much to the Holy Spirit, we might find that all of a sudden things are happening in our lives that can surprise us. And you, like I, don't like too many surprises. But the Lord is the God of surprises, and he wants to move in our midst in these days, I believe. And so let's allow him to do that. Jesus, you remember, was spoken about by John the Baptist. Remember when John the Baptist said to his followers, "I baptize with water, but there's one that's coming after me who's not, I'm not fit to undo his sandal strap, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And he's talking about Jesus. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And remember when Jesus himself said, "I have come to bring fire to the earth." And how I wish it were blazing already. He's speaking about the fire of the Holy Spirit. And finally, true to the promise of Jesus, the fire of the Holy Spirit came in Pentecost, huh? Upon the apostles and Mary gathered there and divided out into tongues of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to pray in tongues and speak prophecy. This is what we are praying for. We're joining with Mary and the apostles in these days as we lead up to the Pentecost experience. We're praying in the upper room, and we're expectant of heart that God is going to move in a new way, in the ways that we haven't seen him move before. We can't say, "I've seen it all before." There's some here who probably think that way. You've been around charismatic circles long enough. "I've seen it all." Well, you haven't seen anything yet. And God is not finished with us. He's only just begun. And so we need to have that expectant heart, open to all that he will do. Now, most here would have been baptized and confirmed already. So already through the sacraments, the Holy Spirit dwells within. And I have had another one, holy orders, where hands were laid too. And those who have had the sacrament of matrimony, again, the grace is there. What are we going to do about this grace, though? Just leave it dormant? How do we open up to the grace? You see, for most of us, when we're baptized and confirmed, we were infants. And we were not able to say yes to everything that God was doing. And so the sacrament can remain tied up. It can remain contained, the graces of the sacrament, unable to produce the fruit that it's meant to produce in our lives. And it needs to be stirred up. You know, the baptism in the Spirit spoken about by Paul when he writes to Timothy, he urges him to fan into a flame the gift that God gave you when hands were laid upon you, the gift of your baptism and your confirmation. When you receive the Holy Spirit, fan it into a flame so that you may be on fire with the Spirit of God. So often in the church, you know, we're not really on fire. I remember when I was first ordained a priest, I was sort of like a little bit disillusioned after a while, because you're beating away trying to do the best you can from what you've learnt in the seminary and that sort of thing. But I remember one day thinking, these people I'm working with, they're supposed to be the chosen people of God, but they're more like the frozen people of God. And they need to be defrosted. And how am I going to defrost the church? I didn't have the answer, you see. But it's by the fire of the Spirit defrost the church, where we come alive in a new way. And the baptism and confirmation have been given to us sort of is stirred up. Now, when the Holy Spirit starts to move, like, all sorts of things happen. There's a guy named Derek. It's a false name. It's not his real name. But he's a real man. Who it was under in the under 19s of St Kilda's in Melbourne playing footy, got caught up in the footy culture, and so that means grog and drugs and sex, and sort of tied up into all that stuff, and seeming that was all a good thing, but then he did well in his business classes, and so he ended up sort of starting a whole company, moved to a different city, was desperately lonely inside himself though, so he married. It was a disaster of a marriage, busted up in a year, made his way back to Melbourne, and then he was in just desolation. You know, he didn't seem to have anything to his life at all. And he said it was like a whirlpool, when you're on the edge of the whirlpool and you get sucked in. Down, 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 down. And couldn't find any meaning or purpose to his life. And he found himself on the floor of his condominium one night, just totally paralyzed and thinking that there's no way out of this. And he said that there came from deep within him a cry. It surprised him. And the cry was, "I can't do it anymore. God, you've got to be first." And he told his mother about it, and she's a good sort of charismatic, and she said, "Oh, you need a charismatic experience. Come to a Life in the Spirit seminar." And so he did. And at the Life in the Spirit seminar, he said, "I was prayed over for the Holy Spirit, and I just had this deep peace come within me." And then when he was playing his guitar later that night, he was singing a Jesus song, he said, "I was just overwhelmed with the love of God. Just pouring into my heart. I just..." And it changed his whole life. He's now a minister and all that sort of... Not as a ordained minister, but a lay minister. And working powerfully in the life of the church. Married with children. And it was really funny about his wife. You know, his mother used to say to him, "Look, you'll never find the right woman, because he'd got an annulment for his first marriage, and he said, you'll never find the right woman unless you go to church. And he said, oh, that's ridiculous, you know. But after he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he did go to church and got into the music ministry. And it turned out the first time he started to play music, a woman who was a parishioner came across and introduced him to Melanie. Said, oh, she'd be able to sing with you. And it was love at first sight. Isn't that beautiful? So, so Mum was right. He'd find the right woman at church, huh? There's a good message in that, young people. okay, so the Holy Spirit does all sorts of things in our life if we're open to it. You see, the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son from all eternity. The Father is loving the Son and bestowing his love upon the Son. The Son is bestowing his love upon the Father. And that love is the Holy Spirit poured out for us. So the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us. So when we open up to the Spirit, we receive a new power to love. You would have heard the gospel today where Jesus is saying, this is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Now that's impossible, but he asks us to do it. Love one another as I have loved you. And he says, and by this love that you have for one another, you'll know that you're my disciples, right? That's how you'll know it. And I was thinking about that. And I think that's impossible. And I'm not the only one who's been thinking about that. Therese Lisieux, I read, thought about that too. And she said, this is impossible to love. But then she realized it's got to be God's love that we receive first. And when God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, then we can love one another as Jesus has loved us. Just as Jesus, as Paul says, he says, I live, now it's not I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. You can sort of say, I love now. No, it's not I who love, but it's Christ who loves in me. Because of Christ within me, I am able to love as he has loved. By the Holy Spirit dwelling deep within, I have a new power to love. And that reminds me of another testimony I heard recently too. This is, her name's Julia. And she'd sort of, and her husband, in the early years of their marriage, they got into all sorts of alternative type of spiritual experiences. They'd gone after esoteric sort of New Age stuff, you know, the crystal balls and all that sort of thing. And they'd also gone into some of the occult practices as well. And so they were experimenting. But every time, she said, they went down the spiritual path that I was seeking, it just was empty. And there was nothing that would satisfy my soul. She was a baptized Catholic, but they hadn't really been brought up much in the Catholic Church. But finally, she felt, well, there's nothing left. I may as well try God, you know. And so she made her way, by various circumstances, to a charismatic conference. And she was just bowled over by the experience of the love that was present in that conference, just palpably present amongst the people there. And so she asked to be prayed over for the Holy Spirit. And she was prayed over for the Holy Spirit, but she still felt there was something lacking, because in her heart, she really didn't think she was lovable. And in her heart, she didn't think her husband really loved her. And she always measured herself against other people as being pretty hopeless in comparison to all the talents and gifts they had. And so when she was prayed over, there seemed to be a bit of a barrier there, because she said, I didn't feel right. I felt I was overlooked by God and it was no good. But anyway, that night, in the middle of the night, she was a bit restless and she put on the light and she opened up her scripture at random. And it fell upon the text about Judas betraying Jesus. And all of a sudden, she was deeply convicted that she had betrayed the Lord. From her earliest years, she'd been a Catholic, but then she just betrayed the Lord. And she was so overwhelmed by this sense of betrayal and the sin that she'd committed that she felt, maybe I'll go to hell. And she was full of fear and all of that. And then she remembered that Peter had also betrayed the Lord. She opened up that one and she saw the mercy of Jesus that Peter experienced when Jesus gazed upon. And she felt that gaze of Jesus, his merciful gaze upon her. And she was so overwhelmed at that moment by the infilling of the love of God that she never knew such love existed, because she had been shut out from that love all her life. But now it was pouring into her heart. And she said, I was just overflowing with love. And from that day on, she's experienced this in different ways, but she ended up with a great gift of hospitality. Their home is always a home of hospitality, always welcoming new people. And she said to me, when we started to open up our home to other people and to bring them in, she said, I just felt so right about it. I felt so joyful just welcoming others and being able to bring the love of God, allow the love of God to flow through me to others. This is the gift that is offered to us. It's the gift of love. You know how we struggle to love? You know, we in our families that we're fighting one another, we have all sorts of tensions and difficulties, and these people we can't forgive, and these people we're not talking to, and these people we've sort of got something against, all that sort of thing. How will we overcome it? How will we learn to live the way of love as Jesus has shown us on the cross? Well, by the Holy Spirit coming within us, the Spirit of love, and he's the Spirit of truth too. When the Spirit of truth comes, he convicts us deep within ourselves, as he did to that lady, Julia. But he convicts us of where we've gone wrong in the whole thing, and we need to repent. But he also convicts us of what he's done for us on the cross. He shows us the truth, and our minds are pierced with the truth. Oftentimes, after someone's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, they just spend hours before Jesus on the cross, just dwelling upon and just allowing the love that they're encountering now, the saving love of Jesus Christ, his blood poured out for me, the water from his side which expresses the life of Jesus poured into my own soul, and to allow his love to pour into me. And the truth of that is life-changing when we allow the Spirit of God to show us and pierce our minds with the truth. And not only does he show us the truth of the cross, but he shows us the truth of the resurrection. You know, we know that Jesus is risen. There's nobody here who would say he isn't. But when the Holy Spirit comes deep within us, we get a whole new conviction of this, a whole new awareness. And we're just alive in a new way. Jesus is alive. He's risen. He's here now. He's with me. I know him. I don't just know about him. I know him. I know him. He's my Lord. And I'll surrender everything to him and yield to him. Jesus is Lord. Paul says you can only say Jesus is Lord when the Holy Spirit's within you. And to be able to surrender like that to God, how beautiful it is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It's the Spirit who reveals this to us deep within us. And so let's ask for the Spirit to come and give us the power of love, to be able to love and allow his love to flow through us. You know, there's a story, it's a true story, from one of the retreat centers in India, where a couple had come and the wife was deeply distressed because her husband, for many years, had been paralyzed down the right-hand side. And he couldn't move his hand at all, and his paralysis was such that he had to be in a wheelchair. So it wasn't just the arm, it was part of the body as well. And so there was no help from the government. So she had to work very hard all day long to get money to support him, then come home and then tend to him and his sickness and carry him around and all that sort of thing. So she'd been doing this for years. She was just worn out, and the relationship was very brittle too because of the difficulties in the whole thing. They came to the retreat center. And during that time, when they were being prayed for the Holy Spirit, she said, that she just felt a love for her husband she hadn't felt before. Because even when they first fell in love, she just felt a whole new love within herself. It just was an awakening in love, an awakening of the beautiful sacrament of marriage in a whole new way. And she said, as this love was coursing through me, she said, I just felt I should touch the paralyzed arm of my husband. And she just reached out to touch him. And as she did, he was physically healed. The love flowed through her to her husband, and he was totally healed. Now, it's not always going to be dramatic like that, but it symbolizes to us how God works. Now, when we open up and surrender to the love of God and give over all the pain and struggle of our lives, the things that hurt most deeply, and just yield to him and ask for the Spirit of God to fill us with his love, we can become instruments of love for others. The love of God will pour through us in a transforming way to touch the hearts and the minds of others as well, and maybe even bodily healing, as in that case. So let's surrender to the Lord. You know, when I was first in touch with the charismatic renewal, I was very wary. You know how you sort of examine things and you sort of think, oh, yes, that person needs this because they're a bit sort of deprived from their background. This one over here with the psychological problems, I'm sure. I didn't think, it was a prideful thing, you see. I didn't think I needed this, you see. And yet I could see it was good. And there are many like that who can be fellow travellers with the renewal. I used to sort of like going sometimes to for the music's sake and for the praise times and that sort of thing. It seemed really nice, but I didn't want to surrender to the big grace of the baptism in the Spirit. I stayed clear of that. It was only many years later when I actually did. I was already ordained a priest, and I opened up to this big grace. And I said my yes in a whole new way to what God wanted to do and had already begun to do in my life, but I wasn't really ready to say yes to. But now I made an act of surrender to the Lord. I said, Lord, this grace is for your church. I believe it, and I want you to pour this grace into my heart, into my life. You see, before, I was like when I go swimming sometimes, I was putting my toe in the pool, right? And maybe some people who come here to the 7 p.m. Mass have been putting a toe in the pool for quite some time. You sort of like the charismatic thing. It's got good vibes about it, you know? Just keep your toe in the pool. And then someone says, oh, jump in. Oh, no. I'll just go around the other side. And then you put your toe in again, you know? And someone says, oh, jump in. It's lovely in here. Oh, no. And so you go on like that. But this time, what I'm inviting you to do is don't just say no. Jump in the pool. That's what it is to be baptized in the Spirit. It's to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. Not just to get your toe in, but your whole being. Allow your whole being to be saturated with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so you become more alive in the Spirit. As a person, the Lord brings to you all the best that he has and desires for you by the work of the Spirit within you. So don't hold back in any way. Don't resist the prompting of God. But just jump in the pool. And it's the swim of your life, I can tell you, you know, when you're really immersed in the Spirit of God. So let's not be afraid. And I just encourage you during this Mass to open up to the Lord and just say, Lord, no, whatever you wish to give to me, I am ready, I'm open, I'm surrendered to you. And when we have the opportunity in a few weeks' time to be prayed with for the baptism in the Spirit, prepare well. Seek the Lord, open your heart to him. This is a big grace that all of us can deepen in more. Don't be afraid. God is good and merciful, and he already is at work in you. And so don't try to control things, but just surrender. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. Bless his name.